welcome to this special SearchSecurity.com editorial podcast sponsored by Sophos. I'm Eric Parizeau. It's great to have you with us. This featured podcast is part of our integration of Networking and Security School, which offers free education on the convergence of networking and security teams, technologies, and tactics. Check it out anytime by going to searchsecurity.com/netsec. This podcast is called Curveball, Endpoint Encryption Strategies. We'll talk about the use of encryption on the endpoint to secure data. Joining me today is Mike Chappell, an IT security professional with the University of Notre Dame and searchsecurity.com's resident expert on network security. Thanks for joining us today, Mike.
Thanks, Eric.
Mike, let's set the stage for our discussion. Encryption is often touted as a panacea for protecting data on the network. Have we reached the point where every enterprise should encrypt its sensitive endpoint data?
Yes, Eric, absolutely. Storing sensitive data on endpoints represents a serious risk to enterprise security, and it should be avoided where possible. Sometimes, however, it's a necessary evil, and encryption is the best compensating control to protect it from theft.
Okay, let's quickly explain how this podcast will work for our listeners. I'll read a statement that reflects conventional wisdom about encryption, and you will debunk that conventional wisdom by throwing us a quote-unquote curveball, or in other words, telling us why that traditional thinking is off the mark and what we really need to know. So let's get started. Our first piece of conventional wisdom: laptop encryption ensures an enterprise won't suffer data loss on those devices.
Eric, it's incredibly important to understand what encryption does and does not do. The purpose of using whole disk or volume encryption is to protect the data on that device from compromise in the event the device is lost or stolen. Used properly, this strategy is very effective. On the other hand, there are many more threats that encryption does not protect you against. So, for example, encrypting a laptop does not protect you against a virus or a Trojan horse that retrieves data from the computer's hard disk and sends it back to the malware's author. You need antivirus software for that job. Also, encrypting a laptop doesn't protect you against spyware that watches user keystrokes as they type and reports passwords and credit card numbers and other sensitive information back to a central server. That is the job of anti-spyware software. Also, encrypting a laptop doesn't protect you against the single greatest information security risk, user error. If a user takes an encrypted laptop and tapes his or her password on top of it, and then that laptop is lost or stolen with the password attached, that single user mistake defeats the whole point of using encryption. The reason for this is simple. The operating system must be able to access your encrypted volume whenever you're using your computer. Otherwise, it would not be able to function properly. Therefore, when you log in with your password, the operating system gains access to the encrypted disk. Anything that happens to your computer from that point forward is subject to the same risks as any unencrypted computer. It's best to think of disk encryption as a protection against the threat of physical theft and nothing else.
Mike, that's probably a bit surprising to many organizations that use encryption on the endpoint today. I'm assuming that means many companies should reevaluate their encryption expectations. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true, Eric. Encryption is a great tool, but it's important to remember its purpose and not expect more than it can deliver.
All right, let's move on to the next statement. Laptop encryption protects data in storage and in transit.
Well, Eric, this follows along the same lines as the previous myth. Remember, disk encryption only protects you against the risk of physical theft of a computer. It provides no further protection. Many people hear the phrase that the computer is encrypted, and they fail to recognize the difference between encryption of stored data, which is what you get by encrypting a laptop, and encryption of data in transit, which is what you need when it's traveling over the internet. Even after you encrypt your organization's mobile computers, you still need to ensure that users have appropriate transport encryption set up to protect data that they transmit over networks. So let's talk about a few common strategies for protecting data in transit. First, you should provide all of your remote users with a virtual private network, or a VPN, for use whenever they're traveling, whenever they're using corporate data outside of the office, whether they're using a laptop in a coffee shop or working on a desktop in their home office. VPNs allow you to use encryption to extend the corporate network to them over the internet. They'll have secure, transparent access to your enterprise resources, while anyone who's eavesdropping on that connection is only going to see unreadable encrypted traffic. A second strategy Any websites used to exchange sensitive information with your users should be protected with HTTPS encryption using the Secure Socket Layer, or SSL. Many users are now familiar with this technology, and they know to look for the lock symbol in their browser. Make sure that the services they need to use are protected with SSL technology. And finally, remember that SSL it can be used to protect more than web communications. It can also be used to protect email, file transfers, and other protocols while in use over the internet. Be sure to consider all of the uses of technology in your organization when identifying the transport mechanisms that must be protected by encryption.
Mike, here's another one. Encryption is difficult to use.
Well, Eric, you often hear stories about the legions of mathematicians and cryptographers employed by three-letter government agencies and security firms to protect sensitive information. Those stories give way to a common myth among managers that encryption is difficult to use. In reality, these technical specialists are employed to create and break encryption algorithms, which is extremely technical and complex work, and it does require advanced mathematical and computer science training. Fortunately, the results of all of their hard work are accessible to all IT professionals. The work these scientists have done creating strong encryption algorithms is available to us through the large number of encryption products on the market today. These products take industry standard encryption algorithms and apply them to commonplace situations in a manner that's either completely transparent or minimally invasive to the end user. Normally, once the user provides the encryption password, the encryption software fades into the background to complete its work in silence. The lesson here, however, is that you must perform due diligence on your encryption algorithms. Before implementing a software package, check to ensure that it's based upon an industry standard encryption algorithm and that the algorithm used is still considered secure by the cryptographic community. For example, the once widely used Data Encryption Standard, or DES, is no longer considered secure and should not be used. Its replacement, the Advanced Encryption Standard, or AES, is considered unbreakable with current computing technology and it's widely used. If a vendor won't tell you what encryption algorithms are used in their software, run away as quickly as you can. This is a gigantic red flag warning you that the product should be avoided. The principle of security through obscurity states that you should never depend upon the details of your encryption algorithm to provide security.
A company must use encryption to be legally protected in the event of a lost or stolen laptop.
Well, this one's a real curveball, Eric. It's important to understand that there is no single standard for the protection of sensitive information on stored devices. Laws vary widely from state to state, and you should definitely consult an attorney before making decisions that may have significant legal repercussions for you. The bottom line is that using strong encryption on your data does protect you and your customers against data loss, but it may or may not protect you from legal liability. So let's talk about a few examples. First, the one that most people are familiar with, California's SB 1386, is the first law requiring notification of consumers of a data breach. This law requires public notification, quote, following discovery or notification of the breach in the security of the data to any resident of California whose unencrypted personal information was or is reasonably believed to have been acquired by an unauthorized person. Now, the key to that requirement is that word unencrypted. This law does indeed require encryption to protect your organization from liability, but it fails to specify what kind of encryption. It seems from reading it that a simple Caesar cipher, a trivial encryption algorithm that you're probably familiar with from Captain Crunch decoder rings, meets the requirements of this law. Now, Connecticut's law excludes data that's, quote, secured by encryption or by any other method or technology that renders the personal information unreadable or unusable. Now, what does that mean, and what standards should be used there? Does password protection of a user account render the information unreadable? Surely, in this case, lawyers for the plaintiff and defense would have different interpretations. So the bottom line is that even though state laws may not explicitly require the use of strong encryption, it's still in the best interest of your organization to follow industry standard best practices and encrypt your stored data with a strong encryption algorithm.
Mike, here's one more for you. An organization that recently completed a company-wide laptop encryption effort can rest easy because it is safe from the risk of data loss due to physical theft.
Eric, it's true that encrypting laptops is a major step forward, But don't forget about the multitude of other mobile computing devices used in your organization. BlackBerries, iPhones, and other devices are often used by key executives and often contain extremely sensitive information. You may have read recently about President Obama's controversial decision to use a smartphone while in office. Security officials convinced him to exchange his BlackBerry for a secure alternative device that's only available to government agencies. Now, you should consider the appropriate encryption strategy for your organization. BlackBerries have made tremendous strides in this area. They allow users to encrypt all data stored locally on the device using strong 256-bit AES encryption whenever the device is locked. And in addition, the use of BlackBerry Enterprise Server, or the BES server, allows administrators to remotely control those settings and even to wipe data remotely from a lost or stolen device. iPhones, on the other hand, have room to grow in this area. Using an iPhone in conjunction with Microsoft Exchange's ActiveSync technology does allow you to remotely wipe data in the event a phone is lost or stolen, but iPhones lack the comprehensive encryption functionality available to BlackBerry users. From a security perspective, it would be worth your while to adopt a standard smartphone platform for your organization. Adopting a standard phone allows you to focus your security efforts on the configuration and management of a single platform, rather than spending your time trying to secure many different devices.
Okay, Mike, as we wrap things up, based on what we've talked about today, how should organizations rethink the role that encryption plays in endpoint data protection?
Well, Eric, organizations should take a critical look at how they're currently using encryption and what their expectations are of this important technology. Encryption plays an important role in protecting data from prying eyes, both in storage and transit, but it's not a panacea.
All right, and that'll do it for this podcast, Curveball Endpoint Encryption Strategies. Mike Chappell of the University of Notre Dame, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Eric.
For more learning materials, don't forget to visit our other lessons in our integration of Networking and Security School, and that's once again at searchsecurity.com/netsec. A quick thanks once again to our sponsor, Sophos. And don't forget, we have many more information security podcasts on our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. As always, we thank you for listening. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.